This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
I would like to introduce you to the happiest member of my family. This is our dog, Murphy. He is the happiest dog I have ever met. He's certainly the happiest member of our family. Some of you have met Murphy. He's hard not to love. You know, Murphy is when you took all the paint in your garage and mixed it together, it comes out with the color brown. You know, Murphy's a dog version of that. You take all the breeds of dogs and you put them all together and you have a Murphy. And that's what he is. He is the sweetest dog that you've ever met. And he is everyone in our house's favorite. Caroline, my daughter, certainly thinks it's her dog. My wife thinks Murphy is her dog. My boys love Murphy, although they're not around him as much. And I know Murphy's actually my dog, right? That's the way it works. So Murphy is sweet and he's playful and he's kind and he will follow you everywhere you go. He is a loyal member of the pack. But Murphy is, I don't know, not the brightest dog you've ever met, nor is he the brightest member of my family. Definitely not the smartest member. One of our friends actually said, Murphy's a C student. You know, that's kind of Murph. But he's a wonderful, wonderful animal, and Caroline loves to play with him. But let me tell you why we think he's a C student. Caroline even recorded this on video. We have proof. I bought a floor-length mirror for my wife to put on the back of a door in the bedroom, but I had not yet installed it, so it was just leaning against the wall. And Murphy walked into the bedroom and sees the mirror and walks over to it, and he's utterly confused. He knows not what to do with the reflection of himself. There's a door that would never existed, and there's another dog in the room that's never existed. And he looked at himself, and he did that confused dog thing, and he twisted his head, and then he began to growl at this other animal. Roar! Caroline cracked up, took video of the whole thing. So that's our C student, Murphy. But he is loyal and he is lovely. Caroline loves to play with him. And Murphy's favorite toy is a pig. This is not the actual pig. This is his Christmas pig. I wouldn't take his actual pig because that would be cruel. He would be lost and alone because he has no object permanence whatsoever. But Caroline likes to play with him. And it has that. Can y'all hear that? It has, oh, that's gross. That's been in his mouth. I shouldn't have done that up on my face. So she'll play with him. They'll sit on the floor, and she'll play with Murphy, and she'll squeak the pig and throw it down the hall, and he'll run and get it, and he'll bring it back, and she'll squeak the pig, and, you know, they mess around and mess around. But then once in a while, she'll squeak the pig, and then put it behind her back. And Murphy stops. He looks at her, kicks back, tilts his head, cocks an ear, a little confused, like, where'd it go? Where'd it go? He's looking around, and after a minute, he starts to get distressed. And he begins to hop around a little bit, and he'll back up, he'll walk in a circle, and he'll come back to her, and he's looking for it and looking for it, and then finally he'll start to talk to her. He'll just talk to her like, what did you do with my pig? And then finally Caroline realizes she's being cruel to this animal now, and so she'll, and he's very happy all over again. I think this is a silly, this is for a children's sermon this morning, but I like it so much I decided it was good for you guys too, right? It is a silly, playful way to talk about what I really do think the psalmist is talking about today. Psalm 42, they think, was written about the exile, when the Hebrew people had been carried off into slavery. And the God that they had known, that they had seen while they were in Israel, while they were going to the temple every single day, the God that they had known who had brought them to the promised land, the God who had protected them and delivered them, that God is now seemingly utterly absent. And they cannot see God because they are no longer in their hometown. They've been carried away into slavery. They're in Babylon. It is all foreign territory to them. They don't know what's going on. And the psalmist says, as a deer longs for the water brook, so I long for you, O God. Kind of like my sweet Murphy, wondering what happened. What happened? It was right there. And now it's gone. Where is God? How do we know God knows us? And how do we know that we are loved? Our temple is gone. Everything we understand to be true about God is over. So what do we do? And the psalmist cries out, as a deer longs for the water brook, so I long for you, O God. Where are you? Where have you been? I long for you day and night. My tears are my food day and night. My enemies mock me and say, where now is your God? And then he talks to himself. He says, but why are you so disquieted within me, O my soul? Why are you so distressed? Put your trust in God, who is your God and your King. For I will yet again sing praises to God. The psalmist has to remind himself that even though God does not appear to be present, can't see him, God is always there. Always known, knows you and always loves you, both to the psalmist himself and to the people of Israel. And I think this is very important information for us to reflect on as believers. Because there are times in our life and in the life of the congregation, life of our nation, when we feel like things are going well and we're excited and we can see the hand of God in the work in the world around us and it's evident. And when that is the case, it's like the psalmist being able to go into the temple with the crowds and singing praise to God. It's obvious and we all know it. But there are times when God is disappeared, when we cannot see God. When our fear and our pain or our loneliness or our diagnosis or whatever it is, the thing is that we are working on, when we live in a world that is so afraid, when we live in the world that plays brinksmanship with nuclear warheads, we say, where now is my God? How could this be? And then we have to talk to ourselves. We have to remind ourselves. Why are you so disquieted, O my soul? Why are you so disquieted within me? Trust now in your God. Remember that God knows you and that God loves you. Remember that then yet you will yet again sing praises to God. So my questions for us to reflect on after communion today are just a couple. Reflect on the times in your life and the life of this congregation or life of our country when it's felt good, when we felt like we knew God was right here with us. And also reflect on those times in your life when you're not quite sure. Allow the obstacles that get in the way, that block you from your view of the Lord, to come to mind. Name those things and offer them to the Lord. And then maybe talk to yourself a little bit. Remind yourself that you are known and you are loved. That we are known and we are loved. And we can yet again sing the praises of the Lord.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.